With the Detroit Pistons' first preseason game just a week away, they're dealing with a few injuries to some of their veterans. What does that mean for some other guys that could possibly step up, and who are these guys that could possibly step up in the preseason to earn some minutes? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or you can leave a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. This should be the last podcast that you guys will get from me until the first week of October. Around then, we'll be dropping a mailbag episode. Until then, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be in Jamaica. I'm going to be getting married. It's been a long time coming. I've been warning you guys of this time. So yes, this will be the final episode you guys get for the next like 5 or 6 days. I will not be here for the first preseason game, unfortunately. I hope you guys enjoy it. But that's why we're going to preview it a little bit in today's episode, because I won't be here for it. So Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks are both dealing with some injuries. Nerlens Noel is going to be limited throughout training camp. He said yesterday during media day, I don't know how long he's going to be limited. I don't know how long he may be out. I don't expect preseason game. I don't expect him to play really in any of the preseason games if he's limited. I know he's listed as out right now in the first preseason game, so he won't be there. And I know Alec Burks is dealing with a foot injury that apparently he said during media day that he has been dealing with for the past season and a half. He just played through it. But right now he's going to go ahead and take some time to try to heal it up, and he's going to take some time off. So those two guys are going to be gone. And I feel like both of those guys had a very good chance, at least Alec Burks. Alec Burks was definitely going to be in the rotation. But Nerlens Noel had a really good shot at being either the starter, or possibly a starter, or the main backup center. And with both of those guys out, I think that leaves some space open and some opportunities open for some guys throughout preseason. Now, again, I don't know if these injuries will last into regular season. I don't know how long they'd be even out if they did last into the regular season. But nonetheless, the preseason is there for guys like this that we're going to talk about to earn minutes, to try turn some heads, to try to force the coach's hand that they have to be played because of how well they're playing, especially when there's injuries like this ahead of them. This is their chance to seize the opportunity. And I think the main guy, there's a few guys we're going to talk about, but the main guy I feel like that has the chance to really earn the most from this is Jalen Duren. I think Jalen Duren has a really good chance here to keep notation to start the season, however long he's going to be out. I know there's a few teams in the NBA that are dealing with some injuries to their big man rotation. I know the Celtics are dealing with some over there with Robert Williams. I think Nerlens Noel is going to be wanted by a few teams. I'm not saying they're going to get like some good assets, but I think there's going to be some level of interest in Nerlens Noel for some contending teams that simply need a replacement center. I feel like if Jalen Duren can capitalize on this opportunity and play really well in preseason, catch lobs, finish around the rim, in the dunker spot, finish all those dunks, any drop off he gets, keep it very simple for him, set good screens, and then the defensive end, don't look completely lost, be able to protect the rim. I don't expect any rookie to be like amazing defensively, but as long as he looks competent and doesn't look like he's completely lost out there, which it may very well look like he is going to be the youngest player out there. As long as he doesn't look completely lost and he holds his own offensively, sets good screens, and protects the rim, if he does that at a really high level or a higher level expecting right out the gate, I think he has a chance in this preseason to hold Nerlens Noel out of the rotation and secure that backup center spot going into the regular season. I think he has the most to gain from these two injuries or these two guys sitting out preseason, however long. I don't want to call Nerlens Noel completely injured. I know he said that he's just limited, so I don't want to use the word injured with him. He's hurt a little bit. Burks is actually injured. He's going to be out for a minute. But Yeah, I think Jalen Duren has a really good chance to secure some minutes and secure that backup spot if he plays well and takes advantage of this opportunity. It's going to be really interesting to see. Another player I think has a chance to earn a lot of stock from this is, I'm going to use two guys, but they're in like the same area. It's going to be Killian Hayes and Jane Ivey. So we don't know what the starting lineup is yet. Dwayne Casey even said yesterday during media day, he said he doesn't have anything in ink. He may have some stuff in pencil, but he doesn't have anything in ink. And what he means by that is that you can erase stuff with pencil, obviously. He doesn't have anything set in stone. Once you get some stuff in ink, that's it. So he doesn't know what the starting lineup is going to be. And it was very possible that maybe Alec Burks was going to be in the starting lineup and give Cade Cunningham that kind of spacing. It was also very possible that Jane Ivey could be a starter in this starting lineup. And it sounds like that even Killian Hayes has a chance to be in the starting lineup. So all three of those guys seem to be battling for that number two spot. So with Burks out of there, I think it gives the next two guys who are battling with him, apparently, Ivy and Killian Hayes, for that two-guard spot. Gives them a big chance to prove that one of them should be the starter going into the regular season. I think this gives them a lot more minutes, especially – actually, I don't want to say especially one of them. I think actually it gives them both – I think it should give them both, I should say, more minutes at the two-guard spot. I think Killian will get a lot of minutes at the backup point guard spot, but also I think he's going to get a lot of run at off-guard. I know that Dwayne Casey really loves running three-guard lineups. I know Killian spent a lot of his time as well at the off-guard position playing with Cade last year, so I think he's going to get a lot of those minutes. And I think Jane Ivey also will too. It's going to be interesting to see it also, by the way. How do they find – are they going to find minutes for Jane Ivey as the primary ball handler? How do they do that? Because right now they got Cade he could be playing with, and he's playing with Killian. At the very least, they're going to be splitting it because Killian's going to be a primary ball handler off the bench. So are they going to try to find ways to get Ivey as like the main guy on the floor where Killian and Cade are off the floor? And if so, how do they do that now in preseason if they do test it out with Alec Burks out? It's going to be interesting to see that. But yeah, Jane Ivey's going to be playing a lot of his minutes off ball. So this is going to free up a lot of minutes for him, and this is going to give him a chance to prove, hey, I should be the one starting next to Kay Cunningham. I should be in this starting lineup. I'm going to be able to play immediately as a rookie. I'm ready to go. All those kinds of things. So I think Killian and Jane Ivey are the next two guys I feel like that have the most to gain from these two guys, Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel, just not playing in the preseason, at least the preseason opener with Nerlens Noel, but very well could be the entire preseason. And another guy I think has a chance too, and I think it's Hamidou Diallo. I don't know where Diallo fits into this rotation. We've talked about this all offseason. I don't know where he fits into this. Be a mainstay in the rotation, which I expect him to be when he's healthy, unless, again, Diallo plays so well in this preseason that maybe they move Alec Burks. Maybe they move Nerlens Noel if Jalen Duren plays better. Like, maybe they have to find a way to get these guys out of here if these players play really well in preseason. And Diallo is a guy I think that has a chance to take advantage of this because I don't think he's not going to be a backup point guard or take a point guard minutes. He's not going to take any of the center or power forward minutes. And the backup three spot, I think, is going to go to Sadiq. It's going to go from Sadiq starting and Isaiah Livers as the backup three. And maybe even Bojan will take some minutes at the three as well. So I don't really see where the minutes for Hamidou Diallo is coming from unless he steals some of those minutes at the backup two guard spot. So if Diallo plays extremely well, he comes out here and plays lights out, maybe they start Ivy or Killian, whatever one, at the two guard, and then have whichever one isn't starting as the backup point guard and let Diallo run off guard with them, with Livers, however they want to sort that. I don't know. It depends what they do with the starting line. Maybe Livers, Bagley, and Duren, or Livers, Bojan, and Duren. Like, who knows? But my point is that if one of these guys, one of those three guards can play so well to where the Pistons feel like they can play without Alec Burks, or they feel like they have to reward these guys for playing really well, and it bumps Burks out the rotation for a minute, it's these three guys, Killian, Ivy, and Diallo. I think those guys have the most to gain from this, from the guard spot, and as far as Nerlens Noel being out, I think Jalen Duren has a really big chance and really big opportunity to take those minutes and really secure himself as the backup center. Heck, maybe even the starting center. We'll see how well he plays, but he has that chance. Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter what you guys think about these two guys missing some time in preseason, and who are the guys you think have the most to gain from these guys being out during preseason. Again, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, I'm going to tell you guys about some lineups that I hope you guys get to see. Again, I won't be able to watch. I will be watching highlights after the fact. I'm really excited to see that. But some lineups that I hope that you guys get to watch in the first preseason game and throughout preseason that I think we really should get to see at a certain point and see how it works. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports, football, and basketball betting needs this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport that's out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, NHL, all sports you can find over at BetOnline.net. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net, you will see that Jaden Ivey has the third highest odds to win Rookie of the Year. You can also see that they have most improved, MVP, best team in the league, worst team in the league, championship odds, all of those kind of things you can already get a head start and look at over at BetOnline.net for the basketball section. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit the subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or you can leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Again, we're going to continue to remind you guys, in case you guys missed it in the opener somehow. I'm not going to be here for the first preseason game. Yes, yes, yes. I know it sucks. You guys won't begin my fantastic analysis, my fantastic opinions right after the first game of the preseason. I get it. It's going to suck, but I'm getting married, so I can't be here, man. I can't. The fiance or soon-to-be wife would utterly kill me. She would literally kill me if I tried doing that. So, but I definitely will be watching the highlights, and I can't wait for it. I'm really, really excited for this. I can't wait for Pistons basketball to come back, man. I really hope that you guys have a lot of fun during this opening game. But talking about this opening game and preseason, there's going to be a few lineups that I hope that you guys get to see in this opening game, and hopefully I get to see throughout the preseason when I get back. And that's what I want to talk about. So first, go in the comment section down below or tweet at me immediately before I get started on what lineups that you guys want to see. What is a lineup that you guys really want to see play, you think will play really well? Let me know down below in the comment section or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. But here are some lineups that I'm really interested in. So I have five right here, and there's going to be plenty of other ones too. So don't get confused. There's a lot of other ones that we could really see that'd be interesting. But the first one that I'm interested in seeing, I hope we get to see at some point, is a lineup of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, and Jalen Duren. So this is my idea with this. So with this lineup, you're getting that three-guard lineup that Dwayne Casey so much loves. Dwayne Casey loves running three-guard lineups. He loves having multiple ball handlers on the floor. He loves having multiple guys on the floor that can create for others and create for themselves. So I think we're definitely going to see that three-guard lineup at some point, somewhere, whether it's in preseason, beginning of regular season, or at the end of the regular season. We're going to see that three-guard lineup at some point for at least some stretches. And the lineup that I decided to put around them, or the players I decided to put around them, was Bey and Duren. I think you could possibly swap Bey and Bojan depending on how it's going throughout that night. But I think you'll have one of those guys. I'm going to go with Bey here. Why I went with Duren over anyone else. Actually, really, let me explain Bey a little bit real quick. I didn't really explain that really well. I went with Bey because you need spacing in that lineup, obviously. That's just the simple reason. But anyways, back to Duren. I went with Duren over all the other bigs because with Stu, you're not getting a lob threat, but you're getting some defense. But it seems like that Cade and Killian, Summer League, Ivy's first play was to throw a lob up to Duren. So I know for a fact Cade needs a lob threat. And I know the other two guys really would like one too. So Stu's good defensively, but he's not going to put pressure on the rim, and he's not going to finish around the rim at that kind of level and really have that kind of gravity. So you're lacking there. If you start Bagley will give you that at the rim. He'll put pressure on the rim, catch some lobs. But if based off last season, he's going to be a train wreck, and really his whole career, he's going to be a train wreck defensively unless he's taking them, which would be huge for him. that would take him to another level. But if we're going based off what he's done so far in his career, if you start him, you'll have the pressure at the rim. At the rim anywhere, really, because Bay's not that good of a defender either. Ivy's a rookie. Rookies are usually not very good defensively either. So it really just comes down to Caden Kill, and that's not going to help you defensively that much. So with those two guys, you're getting a positive and a really bad negative. I think the potential with Duren is that he doesn't reach – this is basically why I have Duren at, the idea of Duren in my head. He's not going to be as good as Stu defensively, but he should be fine defensively. And he may not be as good as Bagley out the gate at finishing around the rim and being a lob threat, but he should be a pretty damn good one, and he should be better than Stu. So, like with Bagley, you have high offense, very low defense. With Stu, you have high defense, but very low offense. With Duren, you should have a little bit of both. You should have a nice median of both here. So that's why I went with Duren over all the other guys. I feel like he gives you a balance of both things. I feel like Dwayne Casey definitely is going to have those worries about the other bigs in this lineup. Okay, if I put Stu out there, we're not going to have a lob threat. If I put Bagley out there, defensively, we're going to struggle. I feel like Duren is the nice answer that can give you both of those things, hopefully, if he's ready to. If he's not ready to and he's lost out there, obviously you'll have to go a different route. But I think Duren, the idea of Duren is that he's going to give you both of those things and you don't have to worry about things just to get a big in there. So that's a lineup that I'm interested in seeing at some point in the preseason. Hopefully you guys see it in the first preseason game. The next one I'm interested in seeing is Cade, Ivy, Bay, Bojan, and Stu. I think this one has a really good chance of being the starting lineup. Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter what you guys think the starting lineup will be. But this one right here could be the starting lineup. Cade, Ivy, Bay, Bojan, and Stu. I think with this lineup, you're getting nice spacing for Bay and Bojan. Hopefully, Sadiq takes another step as an outside shooter. That would be big. Cade and Ivy as some primary ball handlers, guys who can puncture a defense and draw kickouts. Ivy's going to give you something in transition that you simply did not have last year, I think. So he gives you that kind of balance too. So I think you're getting a lot from those four guys. And with Stu, what we're hearing about Stu is that he's trying to become more of an outside shooter this year. So if Stu's able to be the same guy he was defensively while also adding that outside shot as a legitimate threat to his offensive game, to defenses, I think this lineup gives you a lot of spacing, man. This gives you really good versatility offensively with the two ball handlers you have. You have shooting around them. Bojan can create for himself a little bit too. Like, he's going to be able to do stuff like that with the ball in his hands. I know Sadiq took a little bit of a step forward last year. I don't know how much they're going to ask him to do that this year, now that they have Ivy and Cade who need the ball in their hands. But I'm sure they'll ask Bay to do some of it with the ball in his hands. So you have a lot of guys, four guys, I think, that have a chance to be able to get the ball in their hands and do something. Maybe not to a very high level yet, but they will be able to do something with the ball in their hands. So I think that's what you're getting with those four. And like I said with Stu, if he gets outside shooting, gives you a lot of spacing, and Stu's going to be able to help you defensively in a lineup that's probably not going to have a lot of defense in this lineup. Stu will try to make up for what other people are lacking. So I think that lineup, this may very well be the starting lineup. So I'm interested to see how it plays together if they play well. It is the starting lineup. Another lineup that I'm interested in seeing, and this is assuming that, again, Burks and Noel are out for the rest of the entire preseason. I'm going to go with Killian, Hamidou Diallo, Isaiah Livers, Bojan, and Duren. Now, this lineup depends on what – I guess you could get this lineup even if some of these guys start. You could just, stagger some guys. But I'm assuming this lineup comes of play because you decide to bring Bojan off the bench and Burks gets knocked out the rotation, or Burks just isn't playing in the preseason. So you got Kill and Diallo. Kill's going to be the primary ball handler. He doesn't have to worry about anyone else trying to take the ball handling reps away from him, which I think he wants. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think that's good for him. He gets his lob threat and Duren that he can run pick and rolls with. I think he really likes that. And Livers and Bojan give you really good spacing, some smart players who know how to play offensively. And Bojan should be another guy who can take some of that pressure off Killian if he's having a rough night or he has a really good defender on him. He can't really break free or whatever. Bojan should be able to handle some of those responsibilities on him, take some of that pressure off of him. And then Diallo, he kind of gets that same thing that Ivy gives in the starting lineup in that last lineup. Break kind of player that you didn't have really for the majority of last season. I know Diallo played, he played more as the season went on, but if he's in this lineup, he gives you that kind of transition fast break player that you won't have if you went with someone else in this lineup. So Kill is the primary ball handler. He has his left endurance, spacing with Livers and Bojan. Bojan can take some of the pressure off Kill, and Diallo can really feast in fast break opportunities, transition. Heck, I think Killian would even find him on some backdoor cuts from the corner if he cut down from the corner. I really hope they, if they do play Diallo, I hope that they make that part of the offense when he's on the floor, where he is in the corner, kind of like OKC did with Jeremy Grant, Andre Roberson, and Diallo when they were over there. They have them in the opposite corner when they run pick and rolls, and then when they run the pick and roll, they come flying down the corner, and you can throw the lob up to them. I think that should be a big part of the offense if Diallo is going to be out there. I think they have guys who can make that pass. So that's a lineup that I'm really interested in seeing. I think we will see it at a certain point. But yeah, another lineup I'm interested in seeing. And the last one is Cade, Ivy, Killian, another three-guard lineup. And this one is going to be wonky. This one's going to be really wonky, but it's something that I think we might see. And the two guys I'm going to go with after them is Bagley and Stu. So Stu said yesterday during the media day that he thinks he's going to be playing a lot of four, and he's still going to be playing a lot next to a big guy, even with the acquisition of Bojan Bogdanović, who a lot of people think will start the four position for the Pistons. But if he does end up playing with another big guy a lot of the time, I think it will be Bagley. And I know Dwayne Casey loves three-guard lineups. So would he consider putting those three guards with Bagley and Stu? Spacing would be terrible. I think spacing would be a heavy question mark here. Unless Killian became a really good outside shooter, Cade improves a lot, and Stu actually does take a step forward as an outside shooter. I don't know if it's a large possibility that you'll see it, but I decided to go a little crazy, a little wonky here. I know Dwayne Casey loves three-guard lineups. I know it sounds like that Stu's going to be playing with another big guy. Let's combine those two things. What would it look like? That's what I think it would look like. I'm interested to see if we actually see something crazy like that and if it would work. Again, it would come down to whether Killian and Cade took a big step as shooters and also Stu. So those are some lines I'm interested in seeing at some point in preseason. There's many others as well that I'm interested in seeing. I'm interested in seeing Knox in one of the lineups. I want to see how he plays, if he can find a way to crack a rotation, if he can hit outside shots at a high clip. But yeah, let me know some lineups that you guys are interested in seeing in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill. When we come back, I want to dive a little deeper. Some of you guys commented on the last video. Some of you guys tweeted at me, DM'd me. You guys asked if I could dive a little deeper in what Killian Hayes was saying on media day and what he said in an interview this past week with BN Sports. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that, what my takeaways were. I felt like he was really, I don't want to say demonstrative, but very outspoken and very open about how he felt. And you get a really good read on him that I feel like you didn't really get with all the other players. I think that's for a reason too. But we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On as platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's a great way to support the podcast. Just real quickly, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but Killian Hayes was very outspoken, I feel like. I told you guys this in the last episode when we talked about Media Day. There's players that are really good with the media. There's guys that give you really good quotes that are really insightful and very open, and those guys are the best ones to interview and the best ones to hear from. There's guys who aren't like that. They're the complete opposite. They don't like talking to the media. They're not very good public speakers. They don't like giving you very insightful answers. They usually just give you quarterback answers, that I call them, just the very common answers. Nothing good, nothing bad, just gives you a quick. Killian always has been one of those guys. He doesn't really give you much of anything. But I thought it was crazy because I felt Media Day and this past week, and he actually was the most outspoken one on the team. I feel like he gave a lot more insight than anybody else did at Media Day. I feel like he gave you a lot of insight in that interview with BN Sports than anyone else did at Media Day. I think that's for a reason. I think Killian Hayes, from some of the things that everyone's been hearing throughout the offseason, said on Media Day about how he's been working tirelessly with multiple different trainers, multiple different shooting coaches. I think it's clear, based off the way he was talking, that he hears all the noise. He hears everybody hating on him. He hears that everyone's disappointed in him. He hears the fact that he's not really liked in Detroit. He's not really liked by people. He's not really liked by the fans. He's not really liked by some of the celebrities in Detroit. I think he hears all of that. And he even spoke to that a little bit, I feel like, when they asked him about how he felt like his career has went so far. And he said it hasn't went how he thought he would go. It's not how he thought the first 2 years of his career would go, but he's really excited for his third season. He thinks this is going to be a really good year. Another thing that he said with the BN Sports interview that I thought was really insightful was the fact that he said that the team, he knows the team, he knows the goals that the team has for him. He knows the role that the team has for him, but he has his own goals and he has his own role that he wants to get to. He has his own personal goals that he wants to get to, and he plans on getting there this season. I don't feel like you heard Killian really be like that or outspoken, or to be honest, I feel like he came off a little bit as a little confident and a little bit arrogant. And I think that's good for his personality. I think he needs that this season to succeed. I think all of us have said that those are two things that he's lacked, and that hurts his game. So the fact that I feel like he said that, along with the fact that he said he was coming with rage this season. He knows what he had to improve on, and he went and did it. He's coming with rage. He's coming with fury. He's coming with emotion this year. He said the word aggressive probably like 20 times in his interview there and in media day. He said multiple times that he has to play confident. He has to remain aggressive no matter what. And he's willing to do that this year. He really just gave you insight to how he's feeling this offseason and how he plans on attacking this season. I'm really interested in seeing it because, again, it sounds like he's hurt everybody and he's wanting to prove everybody wrong. He also went on to say that, you know, he has his personal goals. He's not going to tell anybody what his personal goals are, but he has them written down at his house and he looks at it every day. Like, this guy is motivated, and it doesn't mean he's going to actually do it. It doesn't mean he's actually going to become a good player. It doesn't mean he's actually going to improve. But I think at the very least, you can see that he wants to be really damn good. He doesn't want to just be a backup point guard. And that's kind of some of the things you heard throughout the offseason, is that, and it kind of, I think, shows a little cloudiness to his future. If he does improve this year, if he does take the step that he's talking about that he believes he can still take, if he thinks he can get to that player that he believed he was before the draft, or if he believes he can show improvement and show steps towards that, I think it throws clouds on his, or it makes his future in Detroit a little cloudy. And that's why we've talked about on other episodes of the podcast that I feel like in every situation he ends up off the Pistons. If he doesn't improve, they just let him go. If he stays the same, I think they probably trade him. And if he improves and he gets a lot better, I think they have to trade him anyways. From his comments at Media Day, and if you guys want to find these clips and the videos of Media Day, by the way, just go to Pistons.com. I believe they're under the media section on Pistons.com. Check that out. But from his comments at Media Day and from his comments on BN Sports, he does not want to be a backup point guard. He doesn't want to be a backup his career. He doesn't see that as his end goal. He still thinks he's going to be a star. He believes he can be a star, apparently. He still believes he's going to be a starter at some point in his career. He thinks he can still get there. He doesn't think that book is closed on his career. So if he ends up proving that he thinks he can be more than that, I don't think he's going to accept coming back to or signing an extension with the Pistons to be a backup. So, yeah, that's basically where I'm at based off what he said on Media Day and in that BN Sports interview. I know it's kind of crazy. For someone who's very divisive and not very well liked by a lot of Pistons fans, I feel like he was probably the most talked about player because of how outspoken he was and how like insightful he was to how he was feeling, how he felt this offseason. The entire media day, I was tweeting out all the quotes from all the players, tweeting out everything that we were being told, all my takeaways from each player as they came and went. By far, the one that had the most engagement, the one you guys DM'd me the most about, not just from Twitter, but those of you guys listened to the podcast yesterday, and on the YouTube section, by far the guy I had the most engagement with was Killian Hayes. Everyone was engaging with his quotes. It was crazy to me because I didn't think that Killian would get that kind of give those kind of answers before, because like I said, he didn't really give that kind of insightful stuff beforehand. But this past week, man, he gave you a little insight to his personality and how he's feeling this upcoming season. So I'm really rooting for him. You guys know I'm a Killian guy. I like the fact that he sounds a little arrogant and that he sounds a lot more confident with himself. I'm interested to see if he actually comes through. And if he does come through and it gets a lot better, I think then you have to change the topic to what's his future look like in Detroit. I think that's going to be the conversation no matter what. If he gets better a little bit, if he stays the same, he gets worse. I think that's going to be the topic we're going to be talking about with Killian for a minute now. But I think it's going to be in a little bit better way, obviously, if he does actually get better and becomes the player he thinks he can become this season. And it sounds like he wants to be the starter. He knows the team is okay with him being a backup point guard for this season, but it sounds like he thinks he should be the starter. So interesting to see. We have a lot of battles throughout training camp. Training camp, preseason, there's going to be a lot of battles, not just at that two guard spot, the center spot, the wing spots, the backup wing spots. Like, it's going to be a lot of training camp battles, a lot of preseason battles for who gets minutes, who starts. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a fun next few weeks as a Pistons fan. But for you guys, that's all I've got for you guys today. My goodness. Let me know in the comment section down below how you guys felt about everything that's happened over the past week. What do you guys think about the preseason games upcoming? Let me know all that. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel. Give us a five-star review or whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. This is the last episode you guys will hear from me until the first week of October. By the time you guys hear from me again, I will be a married man. Let's see if it's as great as I think it's going to be. A lot of you guys keep trolling me and keep saying, oh, are you sure you want it? Like, come on, take it easy. Let's chill with the jokes. Next time you guys hear from me, I will be a married man. And I'm really going to go down and enjoy this time in Jamaica, man. I'm going to enjoy this time with my fiance and my soon-to-be wife and my family. I hope you guys enjoy the preseason, the first game. I hope you guys enjoy some of the storylines you guys get from training camp. You guys probably won't be hearing from me a lot until then, until I get back. So thank you guys for supporting me up until this point. I'm going to go get a nice and needed break. And I'll see you guys when I get back. Stay safe, everybody. Enjoy the Pistons. I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.